The scripture reading this morning comes from Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 17. Joshua 24, 14 through 17. This is an excerpt from Joshua's final words to the children of Israel. "Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So the people answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is He who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the ways that we went and among all the people through whom we passed."
I know something you did this morning. Thankfully, I don't know all that you did, and you don't know all that I did. But I do know one thing that you did this morning, and that is you made a choice to come here. We make a lot of choices in life. Some of them are of great consequence. Some of them are of rather insignificant consequence. But you chose to be here. No one forced you to come. You just made up your mind that that was what you were going to do. But all through life, we make choices. Making choices simply means that we determine to do a thing. It indicates that we have some forethought, that we're not mere animals, that we're not robots. But God has made us, created us, thankfully, with the ability to make choices as we go through life. But with that great blessing, and it is a blessing that we can choose so many things in our lives, there is a responsibility. And I know I'm not saying anything at this point that you don't know well, but I do think that it's important for us from time to time to realize what a tremendous responsibility we hold and how God will hold us responsible for the decisions that we make in life. We can choose evil, we can choose good. We can choose to follow the Lord, we can choose to follow Satan. And isn't it curious that sometimes the decisions that we make in life can affect our lives, even though they may at the time seem rather insignificant choices, they can affect our lives until the day we die. I don't think he would mind if I mentioned a decision that I know Dennis Stephen made. When Dennis Stephen was a young man, ready for college, university, he was a rather outstanding hockey player from Canada, and that's what he really wanted to do at the time, to go to a university and play hockey. His father was an elder in the church, and he said, "Dennis, I'd like for you to go to a Christian college in Nashville, and if you don't like it or for any reason you want to leave after the first year, you can do that." Dennis came to Nashville. He entered Lipscomb University. He met Billie Jean, and that was the end of that. Hockey was in the background. And you can think, not only was it a decision as to how that decision changed whom he would marry, it changed his work, it changed the fact that he came to worship with us at Graymere, and that now he's an elder of this congregation and serving very faithfully the Lord. But a decision made very early in his life affected not only Dennis and Billie Jean, it affected all of us. And so many of the decisions that we make in life are like that. They seem insignificant or at least rather small at the moment, but as time goes by, they expand and there's so many things that are involved in it. I think about George Washington, just looking back in history. As a young man, George Washington determined that he was going to join the English Navy. In fact, he was at the pier, and the ship had come in that was to take him to England. But his mother showed such sadness and such concern that he was leaving that he changed his mind. Well, you know the rest of that story. He became the commanding officer of the small American army that later fought against the English. He became our first president. But it all began when he made that decision to do what his mother wanted him to do and just stay home and not to join the English Navy. Now, I realize I'm saying something about my age, but there are a lot of you who will recognize the name Tojo. When Tojo was a young man in Japan, he had to make a decision as to where he would go for his advanced education. He could go to Germany, he could go to Japan, or to Canada, he could go to the United States. Or he could go to England, Germany, or the United States. For some reason, he chose to go to Germany, and there he received his advanced degrees in education. And later, when the Second World War broke out, Tojo cast his lot with Germany. Now, I'm sure there were a lot of other things involved in that decision, but you wonder how much was involved in the fact that he was familiar with Germany and had received his education there. But again, perhaps all of us can recall some decisions that we've made in our lives that really changed the course of our lives. Decisions that at the moment did not seem that great. But with all of that thought in mind, I'd like to go with you now back to the Bible and to look at some decisions that various individuals made and how it affected them and many times affected others. And I don't know of any better place to begin than to go back to the third chapter of Genesis, where you read of the decision that was made by Adam and Eve. It seemed like, I'm sure to them, not the greatest decision in the world, but God had said, don't eat of that particular tree. Satan said, in effect, you can eat of it. They had to make a choice, would they or would they not? They chose to eat of the tree. And you know all of the things that transpired after that, how they lost that beautiful paradise garden, how sin came into their lives and they tried to hide themselves from God. But even more significantly, perhaps, is the fact that not only did sin enter into the world, but so many of the sorrows and the heartaches that you and I, to this very day, are suffering. And finally, death that has come upon the human race. But it all began with a decision about eating some kind of fruit. We don't know what kind. I think also of a decision that was made by Lot. When Abraham's herdsmen and the herdsmen of Lot began to quarrel because of the scarcity of water and grass, you remember how Abraham said, we're brethren, let's not quarrel, let's just part. You go to the right, I'll go to the left. You go to the left, I'll go to the right. And Lot chose the well-watered plains of the Jordan. Maybe at first that didn't seem like the greatest decision, but that's where the grass was. There was obviously water there, and as far as he was concerned, from a human standpoint, that was a good choice. But in making that choice, he, as we often say, pitched his tent toward Sodom. And how long it took him to finally reach Sodom, nobody knows. But finally he did. And as a result of that decision of Abraham and Lot to part company and Lot choosing to go in that particular direction, his daughters married men of wicked Sodom. He lost his wife. He lost all of his possessions. He lost everything. And finally there was incest involved in his life. So many things that began way back at a time when he just made a decision. Where are my cattle and sheep going to drink and eat? Where's the best place for them? Again, a great decision, or a small decision, perhaps at first, that had great consequences. And Rehoboam. You remember after David, Solomon became the king of Israel, and when Solomon died, his son Rehoboam was to be the next king. The people came to Rehoboam and they said, would you lighten our load? We've been under a heavy burden for a long time, in so many words. You remember it was during the time of Solomon that the temple was built and Solomon's house was built, which likewise was magnificent and, as I remember, took even longer to build than it took to build the temple. And so evidently the people had been taxed heavily during this period of time to build these things and perhaps other things. And now they're saying, make it a little easier on us. Give me 3 days, Rehoboam said. He went to some of those old men who had counseled his fathers over the years, and he asked them, what would you do? They said, listen to the people. You lighten their load and be good to them, and they'll follow you. He went to some of the younger men with whom he had grown up, evidently, and he asked them what to do, and they said, well, you just let them know who's king. You make it harder on them, and tell them you're going to make it more difficult for them than did your father. You let them know you are the king. Now, obviously, I'm paraphrasing. Well, he chose to listen to the young men. Now, I'm not despairing young men, because both young and old make mistakes at times, but he did listen to some bad advice. And he went back to the people, and he told them what these young men had told him to say. And as a result, 10 northern tribes rebelled against him. He basically lost his kingdom, the majority of it. Oh, it could have been so different if he had just made a choice that was different, a different decision. We're all familiar with the prodigal son. He and his older brother had to make decisions about what they were going to do with their lives. The older boy decided to stay home. The young man said, give me my portion of the inheritance. He left. He wasted it. Famine in the land. He finds himself in the pig pen. He would love to have gone back home, realizing that the servants of his father were better off than he was. And finally, having made that bad decision, he winds up in a terrible situation. Just a decision to leave home. And then again, there was the decision of the rich young ruler. He made a choice. He came running to Jesus, and I think it's commendable that he came running to Jesus. And he said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord told him, realizing what his particular difficulty was, what might stand between him and God. And he said, sell what you have, give it to the poor, come follow me. And the young man just could not bring himself to give up all of the riches that he had. It wasn't that he didn't want to go to heaven. It was not that he did not want to follow Jesus, because the text says he went away sorrowfully. He didn't go away laughing at Jesus and saying, you know, you just got to be fooling me or crazy to say, give up all of this. Now, he went away sorrowfully. But nevertheless, he made the choice to keep his riches rather than to follow the Lord. And I've often thought about that. In days to come, when the judgment comes, he and the Lord will meet again, won't they? And he'll stand before Jesus again, and this time his office as a ruler will have been long gone. His riches will have faded away. He'll enter into eternity spiritually bankrupt. Could have all been different if he had just chosen to do what the Lord said. Does that say anything to us about the choices we make to follow the Lord or not to follow him? Do we think what he's asking us to give up is too great, that we're just not willing to do that? Well, a choice has to be made in our lives as well. And then there was the choice of Moses. You talk about a man in a position that most people would have given anything to enjoy. Son of Pharaoh's daughter, richest nation in the world. Power, riches, honor, prestige was all his. Who knows, he might have become one of the great rulers of Egypt. He certainly was in an enviable position as far as power and riches were concerned. And that kind of thing so often affects a person's life. So many people literally give their lives reaching for those very things that Moses had. But then the text tells us in the Hebrew letter in the 11th chapter in the 23rd verse how he chose to follow the people of God and follow the Lord rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, for a little time, counting the reproach of Christ greater riches than the pleasures of Egypt. What a choice. Not an easy choice. Difficult choice. But in the end, because he had the wisdom to look to the recompense of reward, to look down the road at the final consequence of that decision, he made the right choice. I hope you and I have that kind of wisdom, that we have the ability to look beyond what's here right now. The money that we want, the prestige that we sometimes want in life, the power, that somehow we can look beyond all of this and see there's heaven. That's our goal. Look to the recompense of reward. Keep it in our minds. Look for that city as Abraham did. It'll help us make the right choice, as did Moses on that occasion. And in our text that was read so ably a few moments ago, where Joshua had to make a choice. He's about to lead the Israelites into that land that had been promised to them, but they're going to have to make a choice. Not only will they cross the Jordan, will they fight, and all of those things involved, but as he said to them, if it seem evil unto you to serve Jehovah, choose you this day who you will serve, whether the gods which your father served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Then he told them what his choice was. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Made the right choice, didn't he? But he called on the people likewise, that they would have to make a choice like that. Well, likewise, as we go through life, there are choices just as significant that we have to make. And then there was the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, but there were some tremendous decisions that this man had to make. And you know the background of Paul, a young man, successful, getting more successful all of the time, bright future. But listen to what he says later. Philippians 3, beginning with verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these have I counted loss for Christ. Yea, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things and count them as refuge. And so he says, howbeit what things were gained to me. They really were gained. This is not some false idea. He had these things. But these things that the average Jew of that day would have given his right arm for, he said, these things I'm just counting as loss, as refuse, as garbage, in order to gain Christ. Obviously, he made the right choice, didn't he? But it wasn't an easy choice. He was human like we are. He wanted all of the things that most all of us want. But again, he could see the big picture, and he made the right choice. And I think about Daniel, too. Daniel was a young man who had to make some choices in his life, and how his enemies had caused the king to sign a decree that anyone who bowed down to any god or anyone other than the king would be thrown into the den of lions. We've heard that kind of phrase, Daniel in the lion's den, maybe so often that it really doesn't have the impact that it ought to. Can you imagine having to face a lion? A den of lions? And you've got to make a choice as to whether or not you're going to let them throw you into the pit with the lions or bow down to some king. You know, a lot of us could have reasoned, well, you know, later I can denounce the king and serve God, but I don't want to die. And in that horrible way. Daniel made the choice to do what he had always done, open his window toward Jerusalem, bow down, worship, pray toward the temple. His enemies were watching. He was thrown into the den of lions, but God took care of him. And when we make decisions in life, if we make decisions on the side of God, we can know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Not everything's going to be good, but it'll all work together, he says, for good. And then go back to that prodigal son, made another decision, didn't he? Made the decision to go back home, came to himself. Many a Christian has drifted away and never had the courage to come back. But then there are those like the prodigal who look at themselves and they come to themselves and they realize the consequences of their choices and they have the courage to get up and to say, I have sinned. I want to go back to my Father. And God gives us that opportunity. What a great God we have. Well, again, there are going to be a lot of choices that we're going to make in our lives. Choices that will have consequences. Who are you going to marry, young people? That's going to be a decision that will affect you more than likely for the rest of your life. Where you're going to go to school, that can certainly affect you. What kind of job will you take? What will your profession be? All of these things affect us in life, and there's so many others. But then there is that decision, will you become a Christian? And that will affect you for eternity. I think about the decision or the choice that our elders are in the midst of making right now. It's not an easy choice to select a man who's going to teach us and preach and help us grow spiritually. Great choice they have to make. But all the decisions that are made in life literally fade into insignificance compared to whether or not we're going to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, whether we're going to become His children. Indecision. Sometimes we would rather not make a decision, like Pilate, wash our hands of it and say, I don't have anything to do with it. I'm not going to make that decision. Can't do it. Indecision often proves disastrous. I think about Elijah on Mount Carmel, called on the people. How long go you limping between the two sides? If Jehovah is God, follow Him. If Baal is God, follow him. But make a decision. And you've got to make a decision, and I do. Are we just going to limp along through life, hoping that in the end everything's going to be all right, and that somehow we're going to go to heaven, whether or not we really make the decision to become a Christian? Got to make a decision. Don't go limping between two sides. Indecision is disastrous. To hesitate also calls God into question. It calls God's word into question. Do we really believe what He said? If we do, then we will make a decision for Him. Our salvation is so important. That sounds like such an easy thing to say. Can we somehow comprehend how important our eternal salvation is? Only the righteous are going to enter heaven, those who are right with God. And the part we act in life, the kind of life we live, our manner of life, obviously is going to have an effect on our decision and our eternal destiny. To hesitate, to show indecision, is to doubt. Is to doubt the most important thing in the world and in eternity. Indecision also exerts an influence on other people. I've seen situations where one person responded to the Lord's invitation, and because they did, someone else was encouraged. And then sometimes others. But then it's just in our everyday life, the decisions that we make will influence many times the decisions that others make. Indecision really is unreasonable. To any really honest thinking person, to take the course of indecision is just unreasonable. It's reasonable for a drowning man to reach for a limb floating by, or even a straw. It's unreasonable not to. It's reasonable to accept the salvation that God has offered to us through His Son. It is unreasonable not to do so. You're going to make a decision. We all do. Decisions that we make in life will certainly affect us. And before we leave here, before we leave this room, we're going to make some kind of decision. Those of us who are Christians will either decide that we're going to continue to be faithful to the Lord. Maybe there are some of us that need to make a decision to come back to Him. And if you're not a Christian, you will not leave this room without having made a decision one way or another. You may say, my decision is to postpone it. What's that phrase? A more convenient season? You may say, my decision is to come to the Lord now. Come running. Not hesitate. Come back home. You believe in Jesus. Would you confess His name this morning? Repenting of your sins? Would you be baptized with Him this morning? What a joyful decision that would be. The angels in heaven would be rejoicing. But the decision's got to be made. And I hope you'll make the right decision to come to the Lord, and all of us will make the decision to stay faithful to the Lord as long as we live. Choices. Would you come as together we stand and sing?